The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might trap Jesus in his speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You are not concerned with anybody's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said to them, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." And they handed him a Roman coin, and he said to them, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" And they replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel reading which we have today comes from the book of Matthew. And for those who have their Bibles out at home looking at this, you'll find it in chapter 12 in Mark, chapter 23 in the Gospel of Luke. It's in all three synoptic gospels, but not mentioned in the book of John. It's very familiar to us, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. Now, this has been used to support the separation of church and state, which is, it's stretching it to use it in that manner. The notion of taxes is merely the occasion of the teaching rather than the essence of the teaching. It has very little to do with money or taxes. That's merely the platform in which we find the value of the teaching of Jesus. We're speaking these days in our own country about tax reform, but there was a need for tax reform in the time of Jesus. Keeping in mind that the people of Israel, the Jewish people, were oppressed by a domineering, tyrannical, and corrupt Roman government, and had this enormous resentment toward any taxes, and in a special way, a resentment toward poll tax, which is mentioned in this gospel. They had many taxes. You had a property tax, you had a land tax, you had a crop tax on wine and on various crops, on the olives, olive oil. You had import-export tax, and then you had a poll tax. There were many, many taxes. And tax collectors, as you know, were reviled by the Jewish people. And they appear many times in the life of Jesus. And if you look at the Gospel of Matthew, you find it also in the other Gospels, not in John, that Jesus calls Matthew the tax collector to be one of his followers. Other interesting discussion at another time. He'd never make it into the seminary today. But Jesus calls Matthew the tax collector. Rather interesting. What you have here is you have a certain conversation, a tension, if you will, between the values of the world and the values of the kingdom. You have the coin, which represents the values of the world, the image of Caesar, and on the other side of it, with Pontifex Maximus, which is a very interesting history to it. It predates the Roman time, and eventually it will become the supreme pontiff, the great pontus, Latin word for bridge, pontifex, bridge builder, the great, the greatest, Maximus, the great bridge builder. And now it has come down through the centuries, and now Pontifex Maximus you will see on many papal documents. I mean, it has mutated over the years and somehow has become attached to the papacy, and we call the Pope the Supreme Pontiff or Pontifex Maximus. But in the time of Jesus, Caesar was deified. Caesar's was the ultimate, the absolute statement of authority. He represents a corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive kind of authority that has no accountability, an egomaniac type of authority. And Jesus is holding up the values of the kingdom against the values of the world represented in Caesar. So in Caesar you have a domineering authority, an authority doesn't listen to the poor, dominated by greed and corruption, self-interest, primary value in this worldly value system of the kingdom of Caesar. And Jesus holding up the kingdom of God. Compassion, forgiveness, inclusion, understanding, patience, healing, the value of life. And putting these two together to say there must be a place in the kingdom of Caesar for the kingdom of God. Without the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Caesar will be empty, impoverished, and will be an absolute tyranny. In pre-Christian Greek, there is a word, there is this reference, it's rather interesting here. Paidos is a Greek word, and it means a process. A process in community or in the civil order that somehow cultivated in people a sense of good citizenship, truth, honor, dignity, the dignity of each person. This was cultivated in this process called paidos. And we get an English word, paideia, which rather interesting, David Brooks writes about this, about our need in society to cultivate this sense of honor, decency, respect for other people, a sense of free expression, the peace of a living community, the sense of inclusion, a sense of compassion. And this, in early Greek society, was considered a sign of a healthy society. Now, when you look at our world today and you wonder where this kingdom value fits in, even in our own society, where the dignity of each person, whether it's the beginning of life, the end of life, or the dignity of women in our culture is abused. When you look at so many places in our culture dominated by greed, by an intoxication for power, by a lack of accountability, you begin to say we need to introduce more kingdom values into our culture. When you look at the church, we need to somehow elevate kingdom values in the life of the church. Look at our families. Misunderstandings. Somehow
the controlling element, one person over another, a sense of selfishness. And these violate the kingdom values. And what Jesus is holding up for us today is not an answer. He doesn't say what belongs to Caesar. He does not say what belongs to God. But he raises the question for us. In our own culture, in our church, the church, we are the church, and in our families, where are the dominant values? And that's the question that comes from the gospel. In its most ideal form, when you listen to the teaching of Jesus, you don't go away with answers. You go away with questions. And the question prompted by today's gospel has to do with my life, your life, and which values really dominate, which values are primary for us. We have much. We have many, many blessings. How do we count the blessings? It has been wisely said that when you count only what you do not have, you will never have enough. If you count what you have, you may find peace in your spirit. So let's look at ourselves. The gospel speaks to each one of us. The manner in which we are part of a society, the manner in which we are a part of a church. Look at our families and say, what questions are prompted for us by a reflection on the Word of God today? What is it that belongs to Caesar? And what is it that belongs to God? And how does this fit into our lives? Amen.